right. Hit check, check, check for me.
Check, check, two, check, all right. Two.
Yeah, good bars, good bars.
All right.
All right, let's do this.
He keeps check, 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 check.
Kid's got alligator blood.
Alligator blood.
Can't get rid of him.
Grandma! There was a time I could have probably recited that movie, every word. And there are like little things still to this day. I could see one of my friends and like hold up a little wad of cash, and it may only be like $14 in my hand.
Right, sure.
But I can hold it up and that's like six, you know, and they know exactly what I'm talking about.
Do you know what I always forget in the moment? What would make a great Halloween costume is that red long pajama that grandma answers the door in.
But would you wear your underwear? Remember he's got like those boxer briefs on it under it? And that stupid hat.
The hat would make it though. It would be so like 10% of the people that you would see would get it. They would get it. But it would be so great. Oh.
And it would be a certain age range. It would definitely be males in their 40s or 50s who would be like, yeah, grandma.
That turncoat motherfucker.
Okay. All right, reel it in.
All right.
Are we starting this thing?
Yeah.
Okay,
I think so.
Here we go.
All right.
Well, if hanging out and drinking is something that you want to do, well, let me introduce you to my boys, Matt and Drew. For fun and laughs and spirits, there's just one place to go. It's time for the Whiskey Tequila Friday Show. Whiskey Tequila Friday Show with my boys, Matt and Drew.
Happy Friday, Drew.
Happy Friday, Matt.
And happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to a collaborative.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said collaboration and innuendos.
That's
earlier.
What we're going to call this one.
Welcome to Whiskey Tequila Fridays, our podcast where we drink some whiskey.
We drink some tequila.
We educate.
And we libate.
All right. My name is Matt. I am the uncertified whiskey hunter. And with me, as always, my agave amigo, Drew. What's going on, man?
Man, I'm excited for this one.
This is going to be fun. We've got some collaborations going on.
Yeah.
And it's a mixture of barrels, mixture of distilleries, all kinds of things going on. We got quite a story to tell about each bottle here.
I think
right?
we do. This week, we have the G4 Reposado.
Okay.
And, you know, when you're looking at the bottle, there's that little laser code that's mm-hmm. printed. Well, this is lot 12.
Okay.
And it's a special release, little experimentation, a little bit different than the normal Reposado, but we'll get into that.
All
what
right.
did you bring on the whiskey side?
And I brought a collaboration. This is the George Dickel and Leopold Brother combination rye.
Okay.
So this is a column still rye whiskey from Cascade Hollow, which is where the George Dickel comes from.
Okay.
And then the three chamber rye from Leopold Brothers out in Colorado. And so they did a collaboration where they blended a column still rye and then this three chamber pot still rye to make this bottle here.
I love and it. Tell us about it because this is how we usually do it. Whiskey first.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
go
we'll start
get
with
in
the
it.
Whiskey.
Yeah.
So when this first came out, it was, I would say, more allocated.
Okay.
Hard to find, you know.
Yep.
For some reason, it's more available, and it dropped in price. Now, I don't know what that means, if it means that it's just demand, you know.
Sure.
Supply and demand. This was, from what I heard, the master distiller, master blender at George Dickel, Nicole Austin.
Okay.
Kind of just in passing or at whiskey events, you know, whether it be distiller events or different things, came they stumbled into this master distiller at Leopold, Todd Leopold. The two of them kind of struck up a friendship and then decided to make this collaboration. Now, as far as the Leopold brother itself, I'm really fascinated by what he's created. He created three pot stills stacked up on top of themselves to make a three-chamber column still. But it's not a column still because it's three pot stills.
Okay, so instead of going through the pot still and coming out and into another thing to be distilled again or usually however you're going to do it.
Right, right.
It just passes from one pot still into the next.
Right up into the next one.
Which is stacked on top of it. So it's not like it's going through the coil and recondensing or whatever you call
it. Right.
Just right.
I believe it goes up into the next pot. Then up into the next pot. And because of the shape, you still get to capture a lot of the essence of the grain, a lot of the floral qualities of the yeast, a lot of the things that, unfortunately, in a column still, you tend to lose because it is more for efficiency. It's more for volume. They're made to run non-stop.
Yeah.
They're made to run like your Ford auto plant just pumping out car, you know what I mean?
Well, and this is what vodka is using, right? They use a column still, and it's one of those like three-story, five-story
correct
metal, stainless steel, literally cylinder columns.
Yeah.
And the booze just works its way up through there.
Yep.
And when it comes out, it tastes like nothing. Right? I mean, isn't that the point with vodka? It's like...
To some extent, yes.
You get a little essence of vodka, and you get a little alcohol burn, but it mixes in your cocktail.
Well, yeah, and because they will distill it over and over and over and over again to the point where it is beyond that 160 proof. Once it goes into the 180, the 190, you have distilled any semblance of what the grain was providing.
Sure.
At that point, then it doesn't matter if you used corn or rye or wheat or potatoes or any starch at all.
Sure.
It doesn't matter because you have now created this almost pure alcohol out of it.
So this is a three pot stills on top of each other, probably so that you could have some of the efficiencies of a column still. Like, can you just keep putting...
That's a good question. I'd love to have Mr. Leopold on. I don't know if you are allowed to keep it continuous because things settle down in a traditional pot still.
Oh, okay.
In a batch type of distillation, the remnants, you know what I mean? It kind of gets, it's gritty and it's dirty, and that's why they have to clean it out and start a whole new run again.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happens in that three column system, but I do know that it allows for some of the benefits of a column still, which I'm sure is reaching towards efficiencies and things like that.
Sure.
But still capture some of the qualities of what a pot still can do.
Nice.
The Cascade Hollow, on the other hand, the Dickel Rye, is more of a traditional column still rye. And what they did was they decided to blend these two types of rye to get this bottle here particularly. Now,
you said column still.
Yes, the Dickel Rye.
I didn't realize that any like ryes or whiskeys are coming out of a column still.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, most of your Jim Beams, your Maker's Mark, all those are just column still.
Okay. And
one of the ones that don't use column is Woodford Reserve. They use a traditional pot still.
Okay.
And, you know, not everyone knows that, but you got to get down to Kentucky. You got to make those tours. That's how you kind of learn all of the
nuance
of each of those distilleries and how they do things just a little bit different. Because you got to think at the end of the day, well, it's corn and rye and malted barley. How can it taste so different? Well, it's in all of these things, whether it's the yeast, whether it's how they distill it, whether it's how they mature it.
Sure.
There's so many differences, right?
Yeah.
But yes, this is a collaboration of the column still Dickel Rye and the triple pot still Leopold Rye.
Gotcha.
And let's taste this.
I think we should. First of all, it's got a really nice color.
I do like the
color. Like a deep copper.
Yeah. It coats the glass really nice. And even mm-hmm. as I'm shaking it, I can even just kind of get a little whiff of it. Like
yes.
even just...
Yes.
Now, when we first cracked mm-hmm. a bottle, I will say I got a little bit of that dill, but it's really mostly gone now.
Yeah.
So floral it qualities.
Has a little bit of that stereotypical Dickel smell.
The minerality. Mm-hmm. You get a little bit of that minerality, kind of a chalkiness. Sure. I can pick up on that.
Smells like Dickel. It's going to be... I'm just going to go back to 12 years old right now. I can't stop.
It's been a while since we've been together. We got to be careful. Get out of hand. All right. I'm picking up a really nice caramel sweetness kind of beneath the floral and rye characters. Mm-hmm.
Do you get that banana flavor?
There is some fruit, a little banana. Yes.
No, the nose is really nice. Spicy rye.
Yeah.
Fruit undertones.
This is right at 100 proof.
Oh, okay.
So 50% alcohol.
Yeah. Not going to burn us out too bad.
Are you ready?
Of course. Cheers. Cheers.
Hi, this is Dave from Starwood Whiskey, and you're listening to Whiskey Tequila Fridays.
So I think that's pretty complex. I get some fruit notes like apple and a little bit of the banana still.
Okay.
I get really nice caramel and toffee sweetness, but then tons of baking spices, some really nice barrel notes like some oak that's subtle enough that, you know, I would say kind of plays a back seat to the floral and rye and spice notes.
Yeah, yep.
That the oak is second after those things. But man, if you like a spicy rye, this is a phenomenal whiskey.
All kinds of rye spice. And for me, maybe more like a caramelized banana in brown sugar kind of dessert type thing. I kind of got hung up on the banana with that fruit.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. Fantastic. Sip number two.
Absolutely.
More banana.
Even more banana for me too. Yeah. Like a Bananas Foster.
Yeah.
That first part, that beginning palate, like a Bananas Foster.
If I keep saying it, it'd be all we taste.
But the apple kind of went away and the banana took more of the front hold there.
Yeah.
But then again, mid to late palate, much more on the spice notes take over. You know you're drinking a rye, but then I really like how there's floral notes on the end of this that just kind of tail off
mm-hmm.
really nice. And it ends delicate. It doesn't end punchy or dry, or it ends delicate.
It's like that late palate, early finish is rye and heat.
Yeah.
Like it comes in a little bit hot, like a lot of ryes do.
Yeah, sure.
And then fades off with floral.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a little bit of pepper spice, a black pepper note.
I'll give you that, sure.
But yeah, I think it ends delicate enough that this could, you know, make a killer cocktail,
mm-hmm.
but it also is fantastic, neat, just like it is. I love it.
Yeah. One more sip.
This is That One Dude Ryan, and you're listening to Whiskey Tequila Fridays podcast.
Keeps evolving.
It does, yeah. Maybe a little clove came through towards the end. Like, of all of those spices, it was so hard to pick them out at first.
Sure.
But maybe a little clove is coming through. But still, plenty of bananas and caramel.
And I picked up something like berries.
Okay.
In the beginning.
All right.
Bananas and berries.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. It runs about $50 now. It's in a lot of stores now. Like I said, it started off being kind of rare, kind of allocated, and now it's a little more easy to find.
Sure.
So I say pick it up if you find it. It's fantastic.
I think this is great.
But let's move on to...
Let's do it.
The
G4
tequila.
Reposado. I mean, we just put our noses right in there without saying anything about it, but...
You don't have to tell me twice.
Gosh, that's nice, isn't it? All kinds of agave, oak.
If you're put off by the earthiness of a G4 Blanco, these repos, it really tames it down enough.
You get, the barrel,
You know, you and I can still get enough of the earthy that we can kind of be happy. But for those that are turned off by too much of that earthy volcanic, these repos, it
dials back the minerality, it dials back the earthiness, and it pumps up, of course, because you're finally getting some barrel influence, pumps up some oak, vanilla, caramel.
Like a sweet oak, a sweet vanilla. Yeah.
So, I mean, like a lot of G4, right? It's light colored in the glass.
Yeah. Just a little tint.
It just kind of dances in the glass, too. You notice that? Like, it looks like it's going to be a top quality sip. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's pretty. She's pretty.
Yes. And this is, of course, coming from 1579 El Pandillo, Felipe Camarena. I keep saying that I'm going to keep, like, adding a piece of what he's doing as the mad scientist. And
right.
The other day, I was like, oh, I should look up a couple things, because I know there's a ton, and there's a ton. I'm never going to finish it all. I don't even know if I should try. One thing I'll point out, we've talked about Felipe Stein.
Yeah.
That was the, you know, steamroller Tohono. We haven't talked a lot about Igor, the shredder.
Okay.
And Felipe did not like a lot of the shredders that were out there because maybe it broke down the fibers too much.
Okay.
And now you're getting something that's going to be released into the juice that you didn't like.
All right.
Or in one of the interviews I heard with Alan Camarena, he says that, like, sometimes they had to coat it with, like, a vegetable oil, and then that vegetable oil would end up in the bottle. Like, you just couldn't ever get rid of all of it. That was just off-putting, and they didn't want to do it that way. So it's a special shredder. I'm not even going to try to get into it. Just when you think of 1579 El Pandillo, there's just tons of cool stuff going on.
But they're on Instagram now. Yeah. They're getting more of a presence. Right. You can see some videos. Yeah. You can see some photos and
stuff. Thank you, Jeff and Sean, for bringing these guys
absolutely
to the digital age, right? So this one is 40% 80 proof, like almost all of our tequilas are. Altos region, highlands, natural spring water, rainwater. 100% agave fermented in stainless steel, open air, no fibers. Copper pot, as we get, here's where we get the aging.
Okay.
They typically use used Dickel barrels, bourbon barrels.
Right.
The information on this one, I noticed that they said very old Dickel barrels.
Okay.
Which was interesting. And then they added some charred French oak barrel aging.
Oh.
So a little departure from the normal aging, yet you wouldn't know it. It's not labeled differently.
Yeah.
It wasn't really a special release. It was just something where they said, hey, we're trying something.
Right. This is not a single barrel.
No.
This is just that lot of that repo.
That lot.
Yeah.
So when you're in the store, if you kind of look around for that little printed laser code and you can see lot 12, scoop it up. We're drinking. And we've already teased this before, and I'm going to mention it again. I've got lot 11.
Okay.
I've got a single barrel release
from
well before that, probably 2 years older. And then this 12, and we'll just sip those side by side on a future episode.
Okay.
We've got two different bottles here with two different aging styles or distillation. It's just a... This is the collaboration.
Yeah. I love it. Love it.
Talked it to death. Salud.
Salud.
All right. So on that one, I get a ton of cooked agave.
Yeah.
Right away. I got a good bit of oak.
Yeah. There's a nice oak note.
Get a little peppery.
Yeah.
Not really a burn, but a peppery note, a peppery tingle.
Yeah. My thought was I liked the delicate cooked agave note with the spice note and how it really kind of balanced.
Yep.
You had sweet, delicate notes with these spice notes. But my question is, do you think that spice is coming from the Dickel barrels, or is it coming from
the
newly charred or recharred French barrels? Because, gosh, you got to wonder, like, what could that spice be coming from?
To be answered on a future episode when we sip some side by side.
Yeah.
At the finish, did you get like mineral coated in vanilla?
Yes. Yeah. There was still enough minerality that I knew I was still drinking like a, you know, at least in that region, if not that distillery. I know kind of what region I'm drinking from.
Well, we've come to expect some earthiness and minerality from G4, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But then, yes, still enough oak that carried through to balance it out. Yeah. This, again, now, it's so balanced.
I know when we talk about this stuff, like it's, you know, if you say it, you're going to taste it.
Right.
But see if you find citrus.
All right. Salud.
Hey, this is Sean Miller from the Package Group. We import agave spirits like Tequila G4, and you are listening to the Whiskey Tequila Fridays podcast.
You did it.
Yeah.
I mean, you said it.
Okay.
And it gave me the impression of like the peel of a lime or the pith of a lime.
Okay.
You know.
Good.
A little drying, a little bitter. So the dryness or bitterness of a lime.
Okay.
Not necessarily the sweetness of a lime. But yes, I got it. Yeah.
So I'm sitting there and I'm looking for citrus because it's a common note, but I got more floral.
Okay.
And even to the point, which I know you've never tasted a flower petal before, but it's that same thing as that bitterness of the lime peel.
Okay.
It was kind of a bitter flower petal.
All right.
And did you feel like a thickness on this? I know you like to call it unctuous mouthfeel, right? Just kind of an oily, fatty, buttery type feel.
It felt thicker than the first sip. Yeah. I will give you that, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the third sip.
All right, let's go. Is the spice coming down a little? I mean, this is getting so smooth. I know that's a bad word, but... It's getting so easy to go down.
Yeah, it is.
I'm getting a bit of bananas and lime now, like fruit and lime, some kind of other, like maybe a plantain or a melon or something.
You put your tropical lime in the coconut. Yeah, buddy.
But yeah, the fruit note. I mean, it's bringing me back to that G4 Extra Añejo.
Okay.
And how complex of a journey that thing was. This is certainly maybe not as complex, but it definitely has a journey to it.
Yeah.
Right? Where the toasted agave starts, and then you get barrel notes, oak notes, and then these delicate floral and fruit notes. I mean, God love you, Camarena. You did it again. I mean, this is good.
You know, the time I get sick of hearing everybody just completely gush and fanboy over 1579, I crack a bottle and I sip it. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you ain't wrong. It's special.
It is. It's
good.
And talk for a minute about the reposados in general, because I know that when I went to the event that happened about 2 months ago at Taco Mucho.
Yeah.
And Sean, I got to actually meet Sean in person. It was so great to put a face and shake a hand and, you know, listen to him talk about this thing that he loves so much. But he really opened my mind. The fact that they don't really have a reposado. They seem to just have all of these different things. Like every year, every batch, they're doing something a little bit different with this. And it depends on what lot you get, what year you're buying it in. Mm-hmm. They have single barrels. They have special releases, collaborative things. There's so many things going on that I don't know. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Like it's almost like going into a store and grabbing a repo. As Forrest Gump says, you don't know what you're going to get, you know? Like it's
And I think that's what makes it awesome.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Tequila Ocho, if we want to keep on the Camarena family here.
Sure.
It's kind of like Ocho, putting out different estates, putting out a different, you know, a couple different Blancos, a different Reposado, different Añejo every year. And they all have a slightly different feel to them or a slightly different taste profile. I love it.
Yeah.
That I could go into the store and be like, oh, I got to go get the special Lot 12's Blanco and Repo, and I'm going to get this. And no, I heard something's new with this. And it's all at SRP.
Yeah.
Because it's not necessarily, now don't get me wrong, G4 has come out with plenty of special releases.
They have.
They went for plenty of money.
And God love them for it. I hope they sell them all.
Hey, yeah. You know what? I hope all of our favorite tequila makers get really rich.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
But there's cool stuff.
Yeah.
At normal store prices.
It is. Yeah.
And I'm excited about that. All right. Is that four?
I don't know.
Who cares? Saloon.
If it was four, it was well deserved because it's so good.
People have to understand we poured this. I don't know what time we are in the final recording, but we've been recording for about an hour and we poured these beforehand.
Yeah.
You know, these have been sitting in the glass for a minute.
Yeah, sure.
It makes a difference.
It does.
It opens up. It changes.
Yeah. No, you gotta
sip it slowly.
Yep. Absolutely. I mean, let it evolve. Yeah. Let it change in your glass. Absolutely.
The bananas are turning into more like vanilla, and maybe I'm finding the citrus because it's more of a nondescript fruit.
Yeah.
It's
got a tart, kind of a tartness to it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. It's great.
If anybody would listen to it, which they won't, I would just keep pouring these two bottles and sipping back and forth, not with our trademarked quick sip. But just in a sipping back and forth type thing, and we could talk about what each, 47th sip, what'd you get this time? Because it'll just keep evolving.
Yeah, no, that's what makes it so great. Yeah,
until we pass out and it doesn't evolve.
Makes it dangerous.
Yes,
it makes it dangerous.
Right.
When I'm doing my reviews, I have to do it a couple of times over a course of a few nights because there's no way you can pour yourself three, four pours of something that's even 80 proof.
Right.
To do it over and over again.
And you stay really, sharp.
And
for us.
And stay with it.
Yeah. No, I mean, you can definitely do four pours.
Oh, we have. Yeah.
We have and we will again.
I'm sure. Yeah.
But for right now.
Yeah.
I think it's about to tie. But for now, I think it's about that time.
Time for what?
It's time for the quick sips.
Absolutely.
So the quick sips are our little addition to the spirits world. This is where we are going to nose the whiskey, take a sip, give it its time, give it its due, but before that finish completely leaves, we're not going to wait, we're not going to rest, we're not going to rinse, we're not going to cleanse the palates, we're not going to do anything. We're going to go straight into the tequila and see what the whiskey brings out in the tequila, and then we'll flip it.
Do it the other way.
Are you ready?
I can't wait.
Oh, man. So first, this is the Dickel.
Leopold Brothers Collaboration Rye.
Cheers, buddy.
Cheers. Like a glove.
Like a glove? Tell me more.
I mean, just like that Widow Jane episode, you knew that the spirits were intertwined.
Right.
And like the Jack Rye and the Herradura.
Yeah.
Which we didn't know at the time.
No, but they were intertwined.
Were intertwined.
And it was perfect.
There's a marriage here.
Yes.
There's a commonality. And it's so hard to put your finger on it. But I loved, after I sipped the whiskey and we nosed the Riedel, what did you get? That was like a really weird, like clove and floral and herbal note that...
Like, have you ever cooked sesame seeds on the stovetop?
Sure.
And you have to kind of cook it dry, and then you're waiting to get that little toast note, and then you got to get it off there real quick.
Yeah, sure.
Well, imagine you were doing that with, like, fresh herbs and cloves. It was, like, coming off of the Dickel Leopold collaboration into the G4, it was like a smoky, herbal, agave barrel mashup.
Yes. One time I bought some pumpkin seeds.
Oh,
that were like infused with some different spices.
Okay.
And one of them was pumpkin seed infused with clove.
Oh.
And it,
yeah,
it was so off. It was like just weird.
Yeah.
But it was great. Great weird, you know?
Yeah.
It gave me that resemblance of like just these different herbs kind of colliding, you know? Remember the game Fruit Ninja? With
yes.
the fruit just flying. And,
yeah.
And your job is just to just.
Is to swat. Yeah. To but you can't like blow up the bomb. You have to blow up the. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So I just got like all these like different herbs and spices just, you know, flying at my nose. It was. Oh, but the palate of the G4 then was, I thought that the spices would kind of take over,
mm-hmm.
but it still really kind of came through with a nice, soothing cooked agave that kind
yep.
of cooled
yep.
cooled the
yep.
spices and then into the barrel notes after
right.
that. It wasn't this like spice overload, you know? Like,
no.
How about you?
All right, back to this Dickel Leopold collaboration.
Yeah.
What was nice is after coming off of our sips of the G4, going back in, you know that Dickel, you know, Flintstone vitamin flavor, the minerality,
sure.
turned into that sweet, astringent, clean part of the soap.
Okay.
Not the part that, you know, I'll wash your mouth out part.
Right.
It's that nice, clean, sweet soap scent. That's what the Dickel,
okay.
you know, the stereotypical Dickel smell turned into.
Okay, yeah.
And then we've already geeked out on it. Just that, just it added a smokiness to the G4 that wasn't there before.
You're right.
And it just was like, okay, take all the beautiful things in the G4 and then just kind of throw it in like a cast iron skillet that's just a little bit too hot. You haven't burned it yet, but
were those crucibles in chemistry class? The little hot plate. Remember,
you
had a hot plate
Bunsen
with the
burner things. What?
Well, there was a Bunsen burner. That
yeah,
was a flame.
That was the flame.
But then there were hot plates
yeah,
with these crucibles, little porcelain bowls,
right.
and you'd put things in, and it would kind of burn and char
yeah.
and blacken.
I spent a lot of time in chemistry, and I cannot think. I majored in that for like 2 semesters in college.
Mortar and pestle,
but it had a different name in the lab.
I thought it was crucible. I thought it was
yeah. It could be the crucible
because then it was a movie, right? Then I heard that it was a movie called The Crucible, and I'm like, ooh,
chemistry. Must be about chem lab.
It was not.
It's got Demi Moore. Who was in that movie? The Crucible.
I have no idea.
Was it Demi Moore? I just pulled that out of my ass.
Some wizard. I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, I have overdone the
all right.
G4
all right.
a little bit.
Do
you need a little reload?
Yeah, let's reload.
While I reload, let's look up the Crucible.
All right.
While you reload, I'll look up the Crucible. I feel like that had... Who did that have in it? The Crucible movie.
I feel like it's one of those movies that should have been an epic period piece. And it was a flop.
Wait, it has Daniel Day-Lewis, not Demi Moore, Winona Ryder. Who, I mean, I guess those two are nothing alike, but big names from the 90s. Daniel Day-Lewis. Yeah, this gets 70% on Rotten Tomatoes, 6.8 on IMDb. And it's about witchcraft. I'm pretty sure I read this.
Maybe
was this
a movie based off a book? I have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, is this like Salem witch hunt stuff? Why do I feel like I read this? Yeah, who cares? Nobody cares. The story's over. you done fucked up the story, Junior. Let's go. How are you doing on your whiskey?
I'm good on the whiskey. Do you need some more?
Well, you just filled up my Riedel nicely. Why would we stop? Okay, favorite Winona Ryder movie.
Oh,
or movies.
Right.
You have to think of them first.
Well, not much because it starts and it ends with Beetlejuice.
Oh, okay.
But then I would stretch it beyond movies and I would say Stranger Things. She really had a comeback in Stranger Things.
Oh,
I loved,
you know what?
Oh, dude. I loved her role. In that show, really a strong performance.
Okay,
as a mom that kind of wants to believe her kids, but doesn't believe her kids, and then and then sees it for herself, and then she's like, holy shit, and then she believes her kids, and then she fights for her kids. Oh, dude.
Okay.
It's so good, yeah.
So, Beetlejuice for sure. Edward Scissorhands. Come on. No?
Eh.
All right. Girl Interrupted?
I'd rather watch... What did she do with Christian Slater?
Oh, was that's it stupid.
Was it Heathers?
Stupid.
Was she in Heathers?
Well, she was in Heathers.
I'd rather watch Heathers than Edward Scissorhands.
But was that Christian Slater in Heathers?
Am I mixing up my movies?
Okay, so when you said Christian Slater, I was thinking of Pump Up the Volume, but she's not... That's not Winona Ryder.
I don't think she's not in that, no. But is she in Heathers?
She's in Heathers, and so is he. And okay. I'd kind of forgotten that he was in Heathers, but I was thinking of her.
I would much rather watch Heathers than, what did you say? Edward Scissorhands?
Edward Scissorhands? Yeah. Okay. Girl Interrupted?
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I mean, you know, there's some of these where it was like our age and what and the subject matter, and it got a little...
It speaks to the writing of yes. this time, and a lot of film critics will tell you female roles were not given.
Sure.
They weren't given enough dialogue. They weren't given enough story. They were they were just a pretty face on the screen to the movie maker, because that's what they thought that the audience only wanted. And so you had this like, you know, it wasn't fair for them.
I'm with you. Stereotypical 90s movie, but one of the best ones, Reality Bites.
Good movie. Yeah.
I would watch that.
Yeah.
When did she get arrested for shoplifting purses?
Yeah, it was kind of shortly that? After her run. She had this run of all these movies, and then you didn't hear from her for a while, I thought, after that publicity nightmare.
I'm just looking it up. December 12th, 2001. Because there was another movie I was thinking about that was her first movie after that, which was what I might call her comeback, but I bet you she was filming it at the same time. But December 12th, 2001, she gets arrested for shoplifting. I don't know. I thought it was purses, but maybe it was something else. That kind of sticks in my head.
It was a clothing or something.
It could have been some kind of designer stuff. But then she was in Mr. Deeds with Adam Sandler in 2002.
That was a good role. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad. With the dead foot. Yeah, no, she was good in that. I like that.
Okay, so, I mean, there's some Winona Ryder movies I would watch.
Absolutely. But yeah, you've got to check out Stranger Things. And
I do.
Your kids would love it.
Oh, no, my son watched the whole thing. Okay.
I'm trying to convince my daughter that she's ready. You know, it was like too scary when she was younger when it first came out. Because some of the stuff is... It's the stuff that nightmares are made of.
But for sure.
The story, the great cinematography, you get these like images of like old 80s stuff. And, you know, it's a great timepiece kind of callback.
Sure.
Some of the cars and the outfits and it's great. It's great.
And who's the dude? Who's the main dude in that movie? What is his name?
I can't think of the name off the top. I mean, he's been in some Marvel stuff now too. He's done
David Harbour.
Yes.
David Harbour plays Santa Claus in like Violent Night, whatever.
It
was in the theaters two Christmases ago.
Yeah.
I just discovered it on Amazon Prime this year, and I'm like, this is my new favorite Christmas movie. It is awesome. And that's him.
Right. Yeah, you would love him in Stranger Things.
All right, I got to check it out. I'm going to have to check it out. But let's bring it back to why we're here.
Let's reel it in. I mean, we are here to Quicksip.
Excellent. So this time, we're going to start with the G4. This is the Reposado Lot 12, dual-aged in the very old Dickel bourbon barrels and charred French oak. Then... No resting, no waiting, no rinsing. Move into the Dickel-Leopold collaboration. One thing maybe we didn't mention the first time. This is 80 proof to 100 proof.
It is.
Ryes tend to sip a little hotter.
Yeah.
So you may think about taking a slightly bigger sip of the tequila.
Right.
Slightly smaller sip than usual of the rye whiskey, just so that we can kind of equate, you know, proof times volume equals relative heat.
Relative
on
heat.
The palate. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
In my face.
Yeah, right. You're going to get a real hot dickle straight in your mouth. It's not going to stop. I don't know how many of these I'm going to keep in and how many I'm going to cut.
I'm here all night.
I can't stop. Okay, you ready?
All right, salute. Salute.
This is Rebecca Sue Neely, and you're listening to Whiskey Tequila Fridays podcast.
Yummy.
Okay, dude. I'm watching you over there. And you are dancing like Kenny Powers. You got your best Danny McBride, you know, that white man arm pumping. What did you get? You like that.
That was really good. So I got a tiny, tiny bit of mint on the mid palate of
Thank God you finally got the mint.
And then into the rye, just this beautiful splash of like fresh herbs, mm-hmm. you know, then the dry herbs, and then the nice sweet, a real nice sweet finish that just stretched it out. Oh my gosh. But yeah, the fact that I got that tiny bit of mint into the tequila, that it brought out some fresh mint in the rye. And I was happy. I was so happy. But I mean, it's only a note. There's so much else going on, and it's right. All beautiful. Nothing off-putting.
No.
There's no, like, dill. No. There's no astringent
not, that,
note.
Not even that dill is off-putting. I yeah. love dill.
It's good. If it's balanced.
Sure.
If it's balanced. But, yeah, that, I mean, whew, that was good. That was yummy.
Going back into the G4 after having our little tangent there
yeah.
for a minute.
Yeah.
Like, getting a little chance to rest in between the sips. Just, it kind of went back to all the beautiful tequila notes that we were getting without the whiskey influence.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Into the rye, and I'm right with you. All kinds of beautiful sweet fruit, deep savory rye spices, even baking spices right,
yes.
into that sweet note.
A barrage of things going on. Yeah.
This is fantastic.
It was good.
God.
Yeah. You have a winner? For me, it's the tequila into the rye. I think it was...
Funny thing is, I was even going to go the other way until you said that out loud, and then I thought, yeah, no, you're right. It's a split decision for me.
All right. I mean, when it comes to the dickle, I've heard that you can go both ways. So.
See, you just did it.
I mean, you asked for it. Oh, man.
Excellent.
Yeah. This was a great pairing, and it makes me want to try a couple of other things. You know, a regular staple on the shelf is the Dickel 8-year bourbon.
Yeah.
Same mash bill mm-hmm. as their Tennessee whiskey.
Okay.
But for some reason, the master blender, Nicole Austin, she identified these barrels as more of a bourbon-y kind of quality.
Okay.
So they separated them and bottled them as Tennessee bourbon.
Cool.
And it's an 8-year expression. And to maybe pair that up with either this one or another repo that we have, you know?
Right.
Like I think it would be great to kind of play with some different Cascade Hollow expressions with some different G4 expressions. Hell, even the Blanco, you know, just kind of see what happens, right?
Cool thing about the G4 Reposado is whether or not you find lot 12 on the shelf and it's been out for a while, you may not. Doesn't matter. All the other lots are aged in Dickel as well.
Right.
So just grab a G4 Repo, grab a Dickel. Sorry. Your face, your eyes got as big as like pie pans right there.
Did you know what you were doing?
No, but when I saw your reaction, I realized what it was. Fuck.
You have to tell me what that's like.
Oh, I think you haven't grabbed your dickle. Oh, God. I'll buy the next bottle if you haven't grabbed your dickle in the last 48 hours. Be honest.
Is it getting hot in here?
Yeah. You're the one showing me the dirty pictures.
All right.
Reel it in.
Yeah, let's reel it in.
I'm going to go back on what I just said. I'm going to do whiskey to tequila.
Oh, all right.
As the winner, just because of the smokiness.
You like that, smoky note. Yeah. All right.
That's what it brought out, something that wasn't there before in the G4, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, I love it too. And I'm going to stick with the tequila to the whiskey for just that barrage of how it opened up all those spices on that rye.
So I think what we should do is just keep sipping back and forth until we come to a unanimous decision, but don't record
it. I didn't bring my pajamas. Yeah, no.
Hey, whatever you do, don't borrow Laszlo's.
Okay.
You have any idea? Real genius?
Oh, yeah.
Remember the guy that lives in the closet?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Laszlo. Whatever you do, don't borrow his pajamas. I don't even remember why that line was relevant.
It was a weird show.
It was.
It was a weird movie.
It was. And from what I've heard, like people who like went to Caltech, they're like, that's exactly what it was like.
That's awesome.
All right. What do we got? Final thoughts?
All right. Yeah. Final thoughts. I think if you can find the Dickel Leopold collaboration rye, it's definitely worth picking up.
Yeah.
You know, it might even be a converter. If you're not a rye fan, this could even be one of those that really kind of opens up your world to rye. And then the G4, what can we say? I mean, you got to experience
this. It's perfection in a bottle, right?
Yeah. If you are a tequila fan and you have not tried any G4 yet, you are missing out.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's about it.
Yeah.
Thanks so much, guys. We want to ask you once again to like and follow and subscribe. Please give us a 5-star rating. Please give us a review. All of our friends out there, we know you're listening. Go on iTunes, hit that review and ratings. Leave us a few sentences. It matters. We really need it. And
you'll get a t-shirt.
Yeah, right.
I don't know when.
No, we are still making that promise. And we want to thank Joby at Forkshire Creek for our music. We ask that you drink responsibly. And if you like drinking whiskey and you like drinking tequila,
then it's always a Friday.
Happy Friday, Drew.
Happy Friday, Matt. Oh, that was really weak. Do another one. Nice.
Oh, we appreciate y'all hanging. But now it's time to go. Well, come on back for more Whiskey Tequila Friday Show.
With a column still, it's all automated. Okay. They literally have a guy sitting at the desk, like your Homer Simpson, just sitting there, like, with instructions that just don't fuck it up, kind of a thing, right? All he's got to do
with
is make sure the light
button.
Make sure that light stays on, right? That's all you got to do.